In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This day brings to a close the first act of the church year, as it were. The greater season of Christmas, from Advent through the Sundays after Epiphany, has presented Christ to us. He is the coming one, the one who came, who comes, and who will come again. He came to this earth as the babe of Bethlehem, yet he is the Word of God who was in the beginning with God. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are in his hand. He is God in the flesh. How can this be? How can Christ be God of God, light of light, very God of very God, and at the same time appear as an ordinary man? This can only be through the miracle of Christ's humiliation. The one who was begotten of the Father from all eternity, the Word who was in the beginning, humbled himself to become a man. And in so doing, Christ veiled himself. During the time of his humiliation, he did not always or fully use or manifest his divine power and majesty. He gave glimpses of his power and majesty through his public signs and miracles, but by and large, he veiled his true glory, living the life of an ordinary man, so that by his faithfulness to the law, he might become a worthy substitute for fallen man, and that by his suffering and death upon the cross, he might atone for our sin. And so it is that when the transfiguration of our Lord occurred on Mount Tabor, and Moses and Elijah appeared, Peter, James, and John were not really witnessing a miracle, for they saw Christ as he truly is. The veil was removed. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. The voice of God the Father declared this to be. He who was eternally begotten of the Father entered human flesh and subjected himself to human time, such that the Father could say of a specific day and time, This day have I begotten thee. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John see this truth revealed. It is a truth that is carried throughout the Psalms and graduals of today's service. Christ is God in the flesh. Though he appears as an ordinary man, Christ is God in all his glory and majesty. And so the gradual says, With thee is the principality in the day of thy strength. And the verse likewise says, He is the brightness of the everlasting light, the unspotted mirror of the power of God, and the image of His goodness. Under the Old Covenant, the veil of Moses remained. Moses spoke with God on the Holy Mount, but the glory of the Lord that his face reflected had to be hidden by a veil. For the time had not yet come for the full glory of God to be revealed to man. But when the fullness of time had come, Christ came to manifest the glory of God to man. And so it is that this day is the culmination of the Epiphany of our Lord. Christ reveals a glimpse of his full divinity to his disciples, that he might strengthen them for the journey ahead. And in the end, this is why Christ became man. This is why he humbled himself and veiled his divine power and majesty. He must go to the cross. And so this day stands as a bridge between Christmas and Easter. But the cross was in view on Mount Tabor. And upon descending from this mount, Christ would set his face toward Jerusalem. Likewise, our journey toward Holy Week begins next week. St. Leo said this of the Transfiguration. The primary purpose of the Transfiguration in the mind of Jesus was this, that his disciples should not take offense when he would die on the cross, nor that the humiliation of the passion he so freely embraced would shatter their faith. For the majesty of his hidden dignity had previously been manifested to them. St. Leo goes on, nevertheless, the Lord is no less mindful of his holy church. For by that same act, he sought to flood her with hope in the transfiguration of the whole mystical body. Because the glorification of the head must someday beam forth unto the glorification of every member. In other words, Peter, James, and John were permitted to witness the transfiguration for their own benefit. For Christ would soon suffer at the hands of the Jews. And the transfiguration on Mount Tabor was intended to strengthen the faith of Peter, James, and John. When they saw their Lord suffer and die, they would be tempted to doubt all which he had taught them. So this vision was a glimpse into the future, a vision of the other side of the cross, of the resurrected glory of Christ, so that his disciples' faith would be preserved until the glory of the resurrection was fully revealed to them on Easter evening. But Christ does not forget about us, as St. Leo rightly points out. For Christ has caused his transfiguration to be recorded in sacred scripture that we too might be strengthened by it. Thus, in the collect for this day, we pray that the glory of the transfiguration of our Lord would come to us through the adoption as sons. For Christ's transfiguration is meant to strengthen us as we journey the way of the cross. And the way of the cross certainly involves the journey of the church year toward Holy Week. But for those of us who would follow Christ, the way of the cross is more than this. For Christ has said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." For the Christian, the way of the cross is everyday life, where we experience daily suffering and pain. But Christ's transfiguration strengthens us in the faith as we face these daily crosses. But we must be clear that Christ's transfiguration strengthens us in a way that is tangible and meaningful. It is not like the cliches of the world. Phrases such as, "It's always darkest before the dawn," or hopeful wishes such as "things have to get better," they sound nice, but they're ultimately meaningless. There is no grand design to the universe or sense of cosmic justice that can be discerned apart from the God of the Bible. For the words of Scripture are not cunningly devised fables or myths. St. Peter teaches us that the words of Scripture are trustworthy. Why? He gives two reasons. First, the words of Scripture are written by men who were eyewitnesses of the events of which they wrote. They're not making it up. These things really happened. The second reason why the words of Scripture are trustworthy is that they are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Because the writers of Holy Scripture wrote the truth that they saw, and because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit in their writing, we can trust the words of the Bible. What it says is true, and it can be depended upon. And so we would do well to pay attention to St. Peter's account of the transfiguration of our Lord from today's epistle. Of course, we are familiar with Matthew, Mark, and Luke's accounts of the transfiguration, but St. Peter's ought not be ignored. For unlike the evangelists, the Apostle Peter tells us the meaning of the transfiguration. When the day dawns, the morning star will rise in your hearts. The day, of course, is the last day, the day when Christ will return to make all things new. And the morning star is Christ himself, according to Revelation 22, verse 16. Therefore, when Christ returns on the last day, he will rise in our hearts. His glory will become our glory. It is as the hymn of the day says, O wondrous type, O vision fair, of glory that the church may share, which Christ upon the mountain shows, where brighter than the sun he glows. The glory of Christ's transfiguration is not his alone. Sure, it is his by right and in all its fullness, but a part of that glory will be ours as well. Just as St. John says in his first epistle, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, the transfiguration of our Lord is the promise of our own glorification. We shall not always remain in this veil of tears. The sorrows of life and the crosses of this world will not always be ours to bear. For through the Scriptures, we have a glimpse of our eternal hope, the glory that awaits us. And so we should not be too hard on St. Peter for his words on the mountain. There, in the presence of Moses and Elijah, Christ shone like the sun. His clothes were as white as light, whiter than any man-made bleaching process could achieve. On the Mount of Transfiguration shone the pure, holy, unveiled glory of God. And St. Peter says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Yes. Yes, it is good to be in the presence of the glory of God. Yes, it is good to see the unveiled glory of the Lord. Yes, it is good to be here. But something much more is in store. The disciples could not remain on this mountain, for they needed to learn to listen to Christ, hear him, as the voice of the Father says. And the word is the key, just as St. Peter's epistle tells us. Christ desires to grant us participation in his glorious mysteries. Through his sacraments, he grants us to participate in the mystery of his transfiguration. His very body and his precious blood are ingested, and the glory of his divine life enlivens us. He became like us so that we could become like him. As mysterious and unbelievable as this sounds, it is true. For the apostle says in his second letter to the Corinthians, But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And yet this mystery is not accomplished apart from the Word. For the most holy mysteries of the faith become a reality through the Word. We can never separate the two. If we try, we will either be left with a mystery devoid of Christ's Word or a Gnostic Word devoid of real-world power. For Christ does not grant his saving mysteries to his church apart from the Word, as Rome would claim. It is not the character, nor is it the declaration of a man which brings the grace of Christ to God's people. But at the same time, Christ does not speak to his church in an ethereal manner which is divorced from the real world, as the Calvinists claim. The Word and the mysteries, the Word and the sacraments always go together. One without the other leaves a Christian ill-equipped to handle the suffering and crosses of this world. And so just as Christ came and touched his disciples, bidding them to arise and have no fear, so too does he touch you. In the sacrament, the transfigured Christ touches you in his body. Just as his word strengthens your mind and spirit, so does his body and blood strengthen you in both body and soul to face the crosses that he places before you. So do not take offense at the things you must suffer in this life. This day, Christ gives you a glimpse of his glory, a glory that the church may share. For his throne is established of old. He is the brightness of the saints. And he grants you to participate in the sacred mysteries of his transfiguration, so that you may be assured of your own glorification into the image of him who is eternally transfigured, even Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be glory, power, and dominion, both now and unto the ages of ages. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.